I'm here with Alexander Mercurs, editor-in-chief of The Deran. Alexander, let's talk about Schiff's speech that he gave on Monday, the final speech on the impeachment trial in the Senate that Schiff gave. I have to be honest, I didn't even know there was another day of speeches. That's how disinterested I am in this impeachment trial. I consider it over and done, a closed case. I wish it would just go away, but obviously, there were some more speeches, and this time Schiff, he really outdid himself in craziness and stupidity. So, Alexander, let me play that speech, that segment of that speech that is absolutely incredible. And this is what you're going to hear from Schiff. And I quote, "If Trump isn't removed, he could offer Alaska to the Russians in exchange for support in the next election, or decide to move Mar-a-Lago permanently and leave Jared Kushner to run the country, delegating to him the decision whether they go to war." So, Alexander, it's unbelievable that he said that, but here it is, and you can comment afterwards.
At least he wouldn't in 1998. But this has become the president's defense. And yet, this defense proved indefensible. If abuse of power is not impeachable, even though it is clear the founders considered the highest of all high crimes and misdemeanors, but if it were not impeachable, then a whole range of utterly unacceptable conduct in a president would now be beyond reach. Trump could offer Alaska to the Russians in exchange for support in the next election, or decide to move to Mar-a-Lago permanently and let Jared Kushner run the country, delegating to him the decision whether to go to war. Because those things are not necessarily criminal, this argument would allow that he could not be impeached for such abuses of power. Of course, this would be absurd. More than absurd, it would be dangerous. And so Mr. Dershowitz tried to embellish his legal creation and distinguish among those abuses of power which would be impeachable from those which wouldn't. Abuses of power that would help the president get reelected were permissible and therefore unimpeachable. And only those for pecuniary gain were beyond the pale. Under this theory, as long as the president believed his reelection was in the public interest, he could do anything, and no quid pro quo was too corrupt. No damage to our national security too great.
Now, Alexander, as crazy and as deranged as Schiff's speech was, I think he should personally be committed to a mental institution. The guy's lost his mind. There is a basis as to what he said, or at least he's trying to base this off of Dershowitz's argument. So I want you to kind of get into that as well. So comment on the stupidity of his speech, but also comment on how he's trying to manipulate Dershowitz's incredible and excellent argument that he made to the Senate.
Yes. I mean, can I say, first of all, what Adam Schiff is saying is completely deranged. Any president who behaved in the way that Donald Trump was going to behave, you know, according to Adam Schiff, would be out of his job very quickly. I mean, that, you know, the idea that you can, Donald Trump has any conceivable possible situation where he could just sell off Alaska to the Russians or leave Jared Kushner in charge of the country. I mean, this is just mad stuff. I mean, it really is mad stuff. But actually, I'm glad that you brought up the whole Dershowitz business, because this is really the heart of this, and it's very insidious and it's very sinister. I mean, one should never misrepresent in court proceedings the arguments of your opponent. And that is what Adam Schiff is trying to do. And I mean, I think it's dishonest. Now, what did Dershowitz say? Dershowitz made this, I think, absolutely towering presentation to the Senate over the course of the impeachment proceedings. He went through all the legal authorities. He went right back to the discussions that took place when the Constitution was drawn up. He discussed what various people like James Madison and Alexander Hamilton had said. He looked at the arguments of Justice Curtis at the first impeachment trial of Andrew Johnson in 1867, said he made all sorts of points, many points. We discussed them in our previous video, but he went one specific point. It was a very, very important point, and that is this: that a president makes decisions all the time in the national interest, or which he thinks are in the national interest. He might, as he makes those decisions, which he thinks are in the national interest, also at some level also think to himself, what I am doing, which is in the national interest, is also in my personal interest. It is likely to help me get re-elected. But that doesn't mean that because he thinks it's in his personal interests, as well as in the national interests, that means that he should be impeached about it. Let us give an example. Let us give one example. When a president negotiates a massive trade deal with, say, with China or with the European Union or whoever, or with, you know, Canada and Mexico and all those sort of things, that president may genuinely and honestly believe that the trade deal he or she is negotiating is in the best economic interest of the United States and will also increase the prosperity of the American people. That president may also believe that because the people of the United States will be more prosperous, that will enhance the president's prospects of getting re-elected. Because the president thinks that second thing, it doesn't mean that you can impeach him on it. That it would be ridiculous. It would be completely absurd. That was the point that Dershowitz was making. What Schiff is doing, and he's not the only one, you see this all over the media. You've seen this in, I mean, the liberal media in the United States have been misrepresenting this position to a ridiculous way. They're saying that if the president thinks that something benefits himself, then he cannot be impeached on the strength of it, because that means that the president believes that his own re-election is in the national interest. I mean, that's a cuckoo misrepresentation of Dershowitz's argument. It's a deeply dishonest one. And what it shows is that the Democrats don't actually have any real response to Dershowitz's argument and are therefore seeking to misrepresent it. It's dishonest. It's sinister. And of course, Schiff has taken it to the point of the absurd.
Yeah, they've turned the narrative now, the media, Alexander, to Trump is going to be a dictator and he's, you know, just going to take all this power if he wins again because of Dershowitz's argument. And like you said, I mean, Schiff's arguments are so cuckoo nuts crazy that they don't even buy into this narrative that they're saying that Trump's going to be the next dictator. But they believe, the Democrats believe, Schiff, Pelosi, Nadler, that there are enough people who are going to actually believe in this new Trump is going to be a dictator spin. And that's the part that's sinister and evil, because it's beyond ridiculous. It's manipulative. It's ridiculous. It's dishonest.
It's deeply manipulative. I mean, it would be impossible, by the way, in a court of law. an attorney who misrepresents his opponent's arguments in that way would find themselves in great difficulties. I'm putting that at its mildest. The reason Adam Schiff is able to get away with it is because it's not, unfortunately, the Senate is not a court in that kind of sense, and without a proper judge. So he does it in that way. But manipulative is exactly what it is. It is manipulative and it is dishonest. The only thing I will say is I think that Adam Schiff went to such absurd lengths talking about, you know, Donald Trump giving away Alaska to the Russians and, putting Jared Kushner in charge of the country, that I think in the end he undermined himself. That's my own personal view. I think that if he'd been a little bit more, I hate to use the word measured, but if he'd been a little bit more modest in making these kind of analogies, it would still have been, you know, completely wrong. It would still have been dishonest and sinister and extraordinary bad faith, but it might have been more effective. I mean, you need to be really in the grip of extreme Trump derangement syndrome to be able to take those kind of arguments that Adam Schiff was making seriously. Now, I know that there are such people in the United States and indeed in Britain, and I come across them. But I think that even most people who don't like Donald Trump, I mean, you know, they would listen to what Schiff had just said, and they think that that was nuts, which, of course, it is.
Yeah, and just to close it out, Alexander, here's an analogy for Schiff. It would be the same as Adam Schiff actually believing that helping and supporting Ukraine was in the U.S.'s national interest and its best interest. Fine. Arming Ukraine, supporting them against Russia is in the United States' best interest. And getting money from Igor Pasternik, a Ukraine oligarch, an American citizen Ukraine oligarch, getting funding from him for his campaign, also benefits Schiff as well. But the fact that he's pushing the Pasternik narrative of protecting Ukraine while getting money for his campaign from this oligarch is okay.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's the point that Dershowitz makes is you can criticize this. You can always come along and say, you know, this kind of thing is completely wrong and should not be happening. But, you know, you can't impeach someone on the strength of that. And, you know, we on the Duran don't like at all the fact that Adam Schiff has, you know, that he's received, or various groups and, you know, for office and whatever it is, have received funding from Pasternak. We've never suggested that he should be impeached on the strength of it. I mean, that would be an absurd thing. Actually, if you take a step back, Dershowitz made some very powerful points in his presentation to the Senate. I didn't think that one was. I thought what he said there was so commonsensical that you know, I don't even understand why we're even talking about it. Every politician calculates all the time what is in their own best interests and what is most likely to get them elected. That doesn't mean that at the same time they're not acting in good faith.
I mean, it's common sense. You're going to act in the best interest of the country and the citizens, because if you act in their best interests, chances are they're going to re-elect you.
Exactly. That's entirely right. That's exactly what politics is. I mean, you know, politicians make those sort of calculations all the time. You can't separate these points and say, you know, because, you know, Schiff is getting money from, you know, Pasternak. You know, that somehow proves in and of itself that he believes that sending arms to Ukraine is not in the interests of the United States. That's what lawyers call, by the way, a non sequitur. It's not a logical, it's not an argument based on logic. You can't presume bad faith in those kind of situations. You might suspect it. But, you know, suspicion, there's a point we've made also, by the way, about this impeachment. Suspicion is not evidence.
Yeah. Nancy Pelosi should have just shut this thing down. She should not have let Schiff give one more speech because he took it too far.
He took it too
Alaska,
far.
Alaska, Mar-a-Lago. He took it too far.
He took it far too far. I mean, frankly, Schiff and Nadler have just completely mismanaged this thing. I mean, this impeachment should never have been brought at all. The arguments were bad. The evidence didn't stack up. The whole case was incredibly thin, and the whole thing was unconstitutional. But they have made the worst possible of a very bad job.
All right, Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of The Duran, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell and smash that like button. And also go to SoundCloud to get an audio copy of this video as well. And iTunes. We also have podcasts on iTunes of every video we do. And go to the Duran Shop. Pick up some magic mugs and some awesome apparel. And we deliver all our merchandise to Alaska, which is part of the United States. And I think it will remain part of the United States for a very, very, very long time.
Now, confident prediction, which I endorse, by the way. By the way, the Russians are not at all interested in Alaska, for what it's worth. But anyway, there we go. Alex talked about the impeccable merchandise that we have in our shop. And you can see it. You can see these amazing magic mugs that we drink from. Strong, elegant, beautifully made. This one is about a year old now, and as you can see, it is as good as new. I drink from my magic mugs every day. They keep my tea, it's mainly tea I drink, warm, and they keep me sustained through the long hours of the night as I research stories for the Duran. And Alex's mug, which is usually full of coffee, not tea, does the same for him. So we have amazing magic mugs. We have, by the way, a large range of them now. And as Alex absolutely rightly says, we have amazing apparel too. We have, cotton shirts, cotton t-shirts, like the one, 100% cotton t-shirts, like the one I'm wearing now, which I've also worn very, very, this particular shirt I've worn in all sorts of, you know, hardy places on mountain slopes and the Alps and in the Peak District of England and wherever you like. And it's an absolute perfect condition. 100% cotton, keeps me warm, and it as today, a cold day in England, and it looks great and it feels great. And we don't just have long sleeve t-shirts, we've got short sleeve t-shirts, we've got v-neck shirts, we've got amazing and really smart polo shirts. We don't just have shirts. We've also got hats and hoodies and stickers, and you can also buy ebooks in our shop, in which we cover in more detail some of the topics that we've discussed in our videos. So you support us at the Duran when you buy things from our shop, and you also become the proud owner of these great things, both for yourself and for your friends if you want to buy gifts there. So come to our shop. Buy these great things. Support the Duran. Alex will tell you how.
TheDuranShop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.